Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
Thank you so much. This was very, very good. You know, we just sang, we want to see God's power. We want to see His glory. Listen, these are signs of God's glory and power, of how God can redeem and restore those whom society thinks don't have value and transforms them into one of the most amazing worship teams ever right here. There's great children of ours. Thank you so much, children, for leading us in worship. Would you appreciate them? It's amazing. Man, I loved it as they led us. I want to welcome you to church today. Those of you in the building, those who are joining us online, and those who are on air, welcome to church today. It's always an honor to have you join us digitally or in person right in the building. And by the way, when you come and join us in person, we get to see you, we get to hug you. There's something special that happens in the room. And so we'd love to invite you to one of our locations if you do not mind. Well, I'm so glad that we've come to this weekend. It is a special weekend for us as Watoto Church because it's the weekend when we get to highlight the aspect of caring for community, the work we do to reach the least of these and reach them with the love of Jesus and see how that love restores hope in the lives of vulnerable mothers and children. Specifically, we'll be looking at vulnerable mothers. I know you have been prepared for the past number of weeks as we've been talking about God's heart for the community, and we're going to take an offering today to help us accelerate hope to the vulnerable. And we get to do it together. So it's been a great few weeks. And this past week has been big because we had the Watoto Golf Tournament Week. I tell you, I played almost good golf yesterday. I won a trophy, by the way, which is good. Because the host, which we was, Watoto, guests to win a trophy for the best host player. So since not many people play, I had to win. So I got myself a trophy. But it was great. And I mean, the golf tournament is about engaging the golf community, many of whom actually, oh, look at those. Those are youngsters. That's amazing. Many of the people in the golf community run these corporates, and so it's a way of bringing them to be engaged in bringing hope to the vulnerable. So we call it Hope on the Green. And it was very nice. This Watoto Golf Tournament is among the highlight tournaments of golf in Uganda. It attracts so many people. It's quite amazing when you invite people to engage in an activity that is usually done for leisure, but this time it's not just for leisure, it's for a cause. Because people in their hearts want to be part of something that's making a difference. And so we're so grateful. I mean, we had, I think it was over 243. We maxed out the golf course. We had to stop other golfers. And over 25 corporate entities said, we want to be a part of what you're doing. And you know what? It's more than golf. It's about bringing hope. That's what it is about. And so we get to do it this weekend, and we are going to give our goal is to raise 450 million shillings this time around to help us reach another 1,000 vulnerable mothers. That's our desire. We don't give handouts, we give a hand up. And I'll talk about it a little bit more today. And so, so grateful to God for that. You know, as a church, we celebrate Christ, but we also care for community. True Christianity is expressed in how we love God, but is seen in how we care for others. So today I'm going to read you two texts so that they are easy for you to remember. Matthew 22, Exodus 22. Very easy. Matthew 22, Exodus 22. Would you stand so we can read God's word and hear the words of Jesus? Matthew 22. Gotta get that right here. Matthew 22, the backdrop of what I'm about to read is Jesus often interacted with religious leaders, and their goal was always to ask Jesus questions, because Jesus started teaching them differently and teaching the communities differently, and they always wanted to challenge him about what he was teaching and saying. And so this is a context in which Jesus addresses them. And right here, Matthew 22 from verse 34, is really Jesus had just answered the Sadducees. That was a group of those religious leaders, and they were really having challenges with the concept of resurrection. So he had just answered them. And so the Bible says, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees by the way he responded, there's another group called the Pharisees. The Pharisees got together. And then verse 35 says, one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Not testing Jesus. Said, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? That is a very tricky question, because greatness in commandments can be subjective. If you give one, they will think it's the other. They say, why not this other? So it wasn't a very easy question when they were asking Jesus. That's why they were testing him. And so Jesus replied, and I love how Jesus replies. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. You cannot argue with that one. Loving God. And it is also there in the Old Testament. Love God with everything. And Jesus says, this is the first and greatest commandment. But then he adds another one. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. What did Jesus do? He summed up the entire argument of these experts in the law into two simple commandments. Love God with everything you've got. Love your neighbor as yourself. True Christianity is when you live out these two commandments. None is greater than the other. That's why Jesus said this second one is as important as the first one. So this week is not about social responsibility. This weekend is about Christianity in action. Father, bless the reading of your word. Speak to us today and challenge us to be people that not only love you, but love our neighbor as we love ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Over years, Jesus' teaching has somehow become diluted and separated. In other words, along the journey of Christianity, we've come to a place where sometimes we think that the most important thing we need to do as Christians is to love God with all our hearts, but then ignore our neighbor. And then there's another group that focuses a lot. No. It should all be about loving our neighbor. And then they ignore the part of loving God with all our hearts. But Jesus, in teaching us, he's helping us see that you cannot do one without the other. If you truly love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, then you will also love those that God loves. Loving our neighbor just as we love ourselves stems out of our love for God. And so this past weeks, we've been talking about God's heart for community. God's heart for community. I was perusing through a book that was highlighting this whole concept of loving your neighbor as yourself as one of the significant marks that has influenced the world, that has caused Christianity to influence the world for generations and for years. And this book here, this gentleman is a historian, and he was trying to study the most influential entities in the world. He studied empires. He said empires come and go. And so the influence of these empires seems to be like, wow, when will this end? But they've come and gone. He studied them. But when he studied Christianity, he took interest in Christianity as a historian, and he began to study how come Christianity has kept its influence to this very day. How come? And it has permeated every sector of society, rest. It is in every part. And even if people have tried to fight Christianity, you cannot stop it. This gentleman is called Tom Holland. And he wrote a book called Dominion. How Christianity has influenced. He studied mostly in the Western context, Western civilization. And his conclusions were this in his book. He says about the teaching, and he calls them ideas of Christianity that have shaped humanity and Christian and Westernized thinking. In fact, all of us, the way we think, he says Christianity was teaching this idea of the inherent dignity of every human being. Those simple things. Christianity taught about compassion for the poor, weak, and marginalized. These are the things he says have been so influential and cannot be stopped. The value of humility over power. Why? Because Jesus, whom we follow, was all powerful, but he humbled himself. Very opposite to what the others looked like. He talked about the fact that Christianity promoted justice and charity and moral responsibility. One of his main themes in his book is this. The cross of Jesus changed the world's understanding of power. Jesus came at the height of the Roman Empire, which was so powerful. But power, according to the Roman Empire, was in political position. It was about military might. It was about economic power. That's what power looked like. Whoever had those was powerful. And Jesus shows up, and the power he unleashes is the power of his love. And that changed everything to this day. That's why when the experts in the law were asking about the law, Jesus responded with the heart, love God, love people. And that influenced the world up to this day. And if we are going to continue to have the same kind of influence that Tom Holland has really studied of the early church and Christianity, we must love God with all our hearts, but we can't ignore loving our neighbors. Caring for community, my friends, is not a great phrase for us. Caring for community is the DNA of believers. If we say we are God's children, then we need to have God's DNA. And you know what God's DNA is? God's DNA is to care for people. It's to care for people. This is very revolutionary if we actually practiced it. God himself demonstrates his heart for community, not just in what we are doing today, but from creation. When there was disorder in the world, God brought order, Genesis chapter 1. And he created the world in so much order. He kept saying, this is good, this is good, this is good. He was preparing all of that for human beings. And then he created Adam and Eve, placed them in a beautiful environment, a beautiful garden, be fruitful and multiply and have dominion. He cared for them enough that he prepared a beautiful world for them. But sin came into the world, messed up everything, and we have brokenness. I mean, brokenness that came not only in people, but in relationships, in our world. And today, there is pain all over us. But because God cares for people and he has a heart for community, he has kept pursuing people who are in pain. He keeps doing that. You see it through the Old Testament. You see it in Jesus' teaching. The early church in Acts. Actually, for the early church, there was such a challenge with caring for the community, for the vulnerable women and widows. They had to set up, to restructure how they functioned and set up a group of people, men who were filled with the Holy Spirit, deacons, Acts chapter 6, whose primary responsibility was to make sure that the widows were cared for. Because that's God's heart. Now, Exodus 22, when the children of Israel were coming out, came out of bondage in Egypt, and they were going to the promised land, they were going to become a nation. So God begins to give them ways in which they would run themselves as a community. And so these are the laws that he was giving to them. And in Exodus 22, he begins to really give them laws on how to care and coexist in community. Because in community, you will have all sorts of people and even challenges that would exist there. Exodus chapter 22 actually even talks about property rights and how to manage properties. Those are real community things. Because God was taking them to their promised land, meaning there would be land issues. We still have them today. Okay? So he puts all of that there. And I want to read. You can go and read all about that. But I want to read something that God's heart reflects for especially the vulnerable. In verses 21, Exodus 22, it says this. Do not mistreat or oppress a foreigner. For you are foreigners in Egypt. In other words, foreigner here, in other versions, they use the word alien. But today's terminology would be a refugee. Someone seeking refuge in a land that is not theirs. It says, don't mistreat or oppress them. Verse 22, do not take advantage of the widow or the fatherless. If you do, and they cry out to me, I will certainly hear their cry. My anger will be aroused, and I'll kill you with the sword. Your wives will become widows, and your children fatherless. This seems extreme. But God was saying, there's three groups of vulnerable people who will be in society that I pay attention to. The foreigner, the stranger, the alien, the refugee. Don't mistreat them. These are people who are escaping circumstances that have put their lives in danger. And when they come to your land, they are vulnerable because they are not entitled to anything.
But they've come. Don't mistreat them. Don't oppress them. I'm very thankful to God that Uganda is one of those countries that brings in, I think we have almost the highest number of refugees in any country from our neighbors who have come here. It shows that beautiful heart that we have that welcomes people. And I thank God for that. But we should not abuse or oppress them. Let me give you one way you can abuse people that have come into your land. By taking what duly belongs to them, taking some of it and giving them some little to remain with. You know, part of refugee crisis and caring for refugees, there's quite a lot of money that goes in there. But the issue is, does it get to them? So much as your hands are open, make sure you don't mistreat. Make sure you don't oppress. It's caring for community. And then he talks about the widows. Because widows are those, in those days, the man was the primary breadwinner for the family. And so when the man died, the family was left helpless and hopeless. Up to today, still the same thing. This says, that's a group I want you to take care of. Don't oppress them. The orphan, the one that doesn't have any adult to defend them, they are defenseless as children. God says, I want you to make sure you take care of them. These vulnerable groups of people are close to my heart. If you oppress them, God says, I will judge you. Their cry will reach out to me, and I will judge you. So, here's a simple question. When God's cry for the refugee, for the widow, and for the orphan reaches out to God, the one who's run away from their land cries out to God, I'm in this new land, where do I begin from? When a widow who's lost her husband and the family of the husband comes and takes away everything that has been left and she's left alone to look after her kids because she's defenseless. When she cries out to God, how does God respond? When an orphan child who's lost one or both of their parents and is left exposed to abuse and being taken advantage of. When that little child says, oh God, if you're there, would you help me? How does God respond to their cry? Let me tell you how. Through his people. God does it through his people. His people that carry his DNA. Because the greatest commandment is just not enough to love God with all our hearts. We must. But if we love God, then we must love those that God loves. And he loves the weak. He loves the poor. He's close to the brokenhearted. And he says, hey, so love me with everything you've got. But I also want to you to love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's God's heart. Why the vulnerable? Because they are precious to him. They are people just like us. They want to experience shalom just like we do. And God says, it is my people who I will send to the brokenhearted. It's my people who are going to be my hands and my feet to bring hope to the hopeless. It's my people that I'm going to walk through to be the father to the fatherless, the defender of the defenseless, the voice of the voiceless. It is we, his people, my friend. That's God's heart. And so as we conclude the series, we want to conclude by re-emphasizing that very fact. That when we say, here we are, Lord, as your church, we become the answer to God's cry, to the cry of the orphan, the widow, and the stranger. And how do we respond to it? I'll give you a few ways that we can do it. Three ways. And we're, of course, going to take an offering after this. We care for the community by reflecting God's heart of justice and give justice to the poor and the oppressed. Now, this can seem far-fetched, but we all can be involved in seeing justice come for the oppressed. Do you know it's quite expensive to get justice? I know. From as a church, we face different things, and you're always in court dealing with different things. But I've also experienced it personally. I have gone to the courts of law in this country trying to deal with a very obvious case. But I've realized that what seems obvious is not obvious to everybody. And they kept asking me to come back to court for hearings, left, right, and center. I began to picture, because I would be at the court and I could be able to come back all those times. But I would see some women who are coming crying for justice. And maybe that's the only day they had transport money to come. And they're asked to come back another day. It looks like justice is selective, favors those who know somebody or who have. Because I decided I'm going to be like everybody else. Listen, God is a God of justice. And he's saying, would you be a champion for justice? One way you can do it is if you're a lawyer here, make sure you don't fall and conform to the patterns of this world, where your justice is only favoring who is who. Be fair like God is. Listen to that poor widow like you'd listen to the who is who. Be fair. Young people, I challenge you. We need more Christian lawyers who will carry the heart of God in our justice system. Maybe you say, I'm not a lawyer. You can defend someone who's going through injustice. You know some people who rightfully are being treated unfairly. You can stand up for them. You could speak for them. You could support a cause that would help them get justice. We can do that. So give justice to the poor. Secondly, let's rescue them from oppressive circumstances. Because some of them are going through horrible, horrible circumstances because, I mean, they are vulnerable. We can be practical to help them in this. And thirdly, meet their physical needs. But you know, when it comes to caring for community, it is a holistic thing. When it comes to caring for the vulnerable, we must not just think of one piece. It is a holistic thing. As a church, as I close, as a church, we've had the privilege of being engaged in caring for community for many years, for decades. And God spoke to our founders about this. He says, hey, we are not just to be a church that gathers within four walls. We need to be a church that cares practically for the community. And we do it through our small groups. We do it through Watoto Child Care Ministries. But in 2008, God challenged our co-founder, Marilyn. And she was working hard. She describes this. I was working hard to take care of orphans, put them in homes. And then she heard of the plight of the vulnerable mothers. And God spoke to her in a whisper and said, are you waiting for these mothers to die so you can take their children into your homes? That changed perspective for her. And God said, take care of the mothers so they can take care of their children. That's how Watoto Neighborhood was born. It wasn't just a good strategy. It was God challenging us to keep taking care of the orphan, but don't forget the vulnerable mothers.
So our total neighborhood was born through our small groups, because we are a small group church. And our small groups don't just gather for fellowship. Our small groups are intended to aim at the pain in their neighborhoods. So we asked them, would you go find the mothers in your community? Ask them, what would you need to help you take the next step in your life? They gave us four things. Many came through, but four were on top. The first one was they thought about their children. Mothers think about their children. They said, if our children could have an opportunity in life by getting education, that would be very helpful. And then they said the second thing, we struggle to look after ourselves and our kids if we could have stable, dignified sources of income. Because when you are vulnerable, some of the ways they were putting money on the table was not dignified. They didn't want to do the things they were doing. Said if we could have a dignified way of earning. And others really were earning unfairly. So dignified source of income. Thirdly, they talked about their health. Because when you're vulnerable, access to health is difficult. Every human being wants to be healthy and live long enough. Every one of us, they also desired that. So they talked about their health. And fourthly, they talked about their housing situation. Can you imagine the mental torture you go through when you don't know if you will still have a roof over your head the next day? Talked about their housing situation. And more recently, the justice piece is becoming one that we are paying attention to. When the cry of those women goes to heaven, how would God respond? Through his people. Yep. That's what this weekend is about. We want to respond and say, God, here we are as Watoto Church again. We want to see hope restored to these vulnerable mothers. That's what we're going to do. So in a moment, we're going to take an offering, which we've been waiting for. That's not just an offering. That's really some resource that's going to bring hope. Over 8,000 women, mothers, have gone through Watoto neighborhood. Praise God. We have 8,000 testimonies of the power of the church reaching out to vulnerable mothers intentionally and holistically. Remember, I said it's not just physical needs. It is emotional needs. It is spiritual needs. It is a mindset shift that we're talking about. And so we take time with them and walk with them and love on them so that their dignity can come back. We do that. And over 4,000 have said yes to Jesus. Come on. Have said yes to Jesus. Because when people encounter the practical love of God through Christians, that's one of the most powerful gospels you can preach. I want to invite Mama Akello to come up here. She's one of our neighborhood mothers who has
just a story to share with you of the impact of what such a weekend can do in the lives of thousands of others like Mama Akelo here. Would you welcome her as she shares her story? Very good. She came with her facilitator here. Yes.
Praise the Lord. Amen. My name is Lucy Akelo. A single mother of three. I grew up in northern Uganda in a district of Gago. So I dropped out of school in 2010 because there was no money for my advanced study. So after finishing senior four, I dropped out. Then I have to come back home and I stay with my parents, helping them digging and doing domestic work. So after 2 years, I found a man who brought me here to the city, and together with him, we had three children. During COVID, he abandoned us in the house with the children. I was with these children. Life was hard. What to eat was a problem. Where to sleep was really a problem because the house I was staying, they chased me out because I had no money to pay rent. So I was homeless. I struggled with life. And later, I traveled back to the village, thinking that village would help me also to get somewhere to sleep. I was sleeping, but again, what to eat in the village? You have to dig. And by that time, my last born was only 6 months. I have to carry him in my back, go to the garden and dig. I felt so, so bad. I was like, is this life? Where will I go with my children? Then later, my friend called me back to Kampala that she had gotten for me a job. And that by that time, the best job I could get was to be a maid. I have to come back. Leaving them behind, leaving them in the village with my mother. So I came, I was staying with her in the same room. I have to do this because I need my children to live, to eat, to dress up. I have to do this for them because I love them. And if you're a mother there, I know you love your children too much. I used to love my children so, so much. I don't want to see them crying for food, where to sleep, and what to put on. So I have to work. And from the village, they call me that your children, they are disturbing us. We cannot take care of them anymore. Come and take them away. I was like, oh, God, what will I do? From here, I'm sharing a room with my friend. I had to go back and bring them back here with me. I want to see them around me. I don't know what life, kind of life they're living in the village. So I came with them. This lady, after seeing me with my children, she changed. She changed completely and chased me with my children. I don't know where to start. I didn't know where to start from. A lady moved, a good Samaritan came and moved me to her home and just gave me 1 month to stay in her home. 1 month. I have to work hard and I get a small money. I shifted with my children in a small leaking room. That time, I think God think of his children, and he never neglected me. Watoto found me when I was living with my children in a small room. And Watoto brought me here. As I reach here, I found many mothers. They said, you're welcome. And they were happy. I was like, will I be happy like this before? From there, we go through there. They started teaching us discipleship, where I have no hope but to give my life to Christ. So, I started living with hope after Watoto found me. They gave me skill. I learned skill. I am a tailor. You see this? They gave me startup capital. I have a business. Right now, as I talk, I have a business. At the same time, I am rearing animals in the village. I'm so happy. God has made me strong, bold, and courageous through Watoto Church.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. My children can now eat because of the work of God. They can now study because of hard work. I am here today to thank the Lord for transforming me through Watoto Church. Thank you.
Wow. Wow, come on, let's celebrate God. He is amazing. Wow. Before you go, I was just reading some stats and demographics of our city, Greater Kampala. And the ones I came across said there's maybe 250,000 vulnerable mothers in Greater Kampala area alone. And about 150,000 of those are desperately poor. They need somebody to come alongside them. That's a huge number. We've done 8,000. But hey, does God care for those tens of thousands of mothers? He does. Her story is not unique. Maybe there's worse stories than hers. God hears their cry. Today, let's be the answer to that cry. Let's be the answer to the cry. Pastor James is going to come up, but please, never underestimate the power of hope. When hope comes to a mother like Mama Akello and thousands of others, the first song we sang today becomes a reality. They can dream again. They can believe again. She's running. She's a business owner. Yeah. Why? Because there's hope. There's hope. She can stand and communicate. Never underestimate the power of hope. Because what we are going to give is going to bring hope to another thousand mothers like Mama Akello. But please understand, hope is not a concept. Hope is a person. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. He brings hope to the vulnerable, but he brings hope to every one of us. For while we were desperately lost and broken in sin, God demonstrated his love to us in this by giving us Jesus. The true source of hope, my friends, is Jesus. If you are here today or listening to me and you don't have Jesus in your life, you don't know what hope really looks like. Would you open up your heart and let Jesus
the true hope come into your life, He will change everything. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com. Hey,